Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Logic, political talk, part of the growing conservative conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. And there you will see the Twitter group led by Mark Prasik. And I believe you can also find it on Facebook by putting in as one word, Patriot Journalist. So check that out. And also on Twitter, you can see them under the hash mark PJNet. So check it out. It's got some really cool stuff. And it is to get out the conservative message and conservatism. And also maybe some conservationist on efforts on my part. However, you can also find things for the show on the Bard's Logic Political Talk. Namely, right now, I am promoting for the David Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. You can find on the Bard's Logic Political Talks website. Go to the Get Involved page, and you'll see a red button that says Save an Elephant. And the way to get there is, of course, you could go to the link that you can see on the page of Blog Talk Radio, the show's homepage on Blog Talk Radio. Check it out. And then once you're to the website, just click on the Save the Save an Elephant page. And there's also a video there of a rescue of a baby elephant. And what it is for only $50 a year, you can help sponsor a baby elephant whose parents were killed by poachers. And one of some of the things that these poachers are doing is they're selling to folks over there in China, because China is becoming a huge buyer of this. And also the folks selling it are also using that money. The folks are using that money to buy arms to fight over in you know, some of the wars you're hearing about going on over in Africa. So the Wildlife Trust, and check out more about it as well, is helping with those efforts too. So please check it out. And what we're looking to cover tomorrow night is actually China's encroachment on Africa and why they are doing so. So tune in to find out more about that. But on to tonight, we are scheduled to have the Constitution Party National Vice Chairman, Randy Stufflebeam, on. And he will come in to discuss the events of the Constitution Party's recent National Committee meeting. And some of the topics will include the 2012 election and where the party is now and what their plans are for the future, including the election in 2014 and perhaps beyond. And, of course, if we got time, we will cover some current events as well as you know, other discussions, possibly on the interview that I had last night with, and folks can check this out in the archives, the interview I had with America's Party's Tom Hoefling, and he had a few things to say about the Constitution Party and Virgil Good. So it'll be interesting to hear about that, as well as how they did in the election, which we are looking to also have in the not-too-distant future, in a couple of weeks, looking into having Virgil Good back on the show to talk about the numbers and how the Constitution Party fared, and, you know, with numbers in the 2012 election. And we'll see how that that went when a lot of the numbers are fully in. Perhaps our guest tonight, Mr. Stufflebeam, will have some of that himself. So, as I said, we're just waiting for him to come in. And so I will share with you for if someone, anyone would like to call in at area code 347-945-7428, either to listen in or to just, if they'd like to speak as well or just call, that's fine, or just listen, that's fine. But if you'd like to chime in, just hit the 1 on your button there, on the 1 on the phone dial, and there you go. You will let me know that you'd like to call in. So while we're waiting for Mr. Stufflebeam to come on for the show, I will go over an article that I've seen today. And it says, Palin to the GOP. Since we're talking about 2014 and what the plans of the Constitution Party is for that, I thought this article would go well for tonight. Since bailing to the GOP, this won't be forgotten come 2014. And it's, I will put the link in chat. Just give me a moment here. Okay. And there you go. And I'm looking in the chat and someone says, where is Randy? I guess he's running a little bit behind schedule, or perhaps sometimes there might be some kind of mic problems. I know, so we'll see. Not with Blog Talk Radio, but with that. So we'll see what's going on with that. So, but in the meantime, while we wait for Randy to come on, then, as I said, I will go to this article that I just put the link into the chat. And so, as I said, the article is Palin to GOP. This won't be forgotten come 2014. And we'll go over it, the brief article that I will read for the folks. And they can go with me if they have the link. Or if you don't have the benefit of the link, I will read it for the folks who will be listening later on to the archives. And it has here, it says, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin said Tuesday that she thinks House Speaker John Boehner's purge of conservatives from powerful committees is a sign the GOP establishment is out of touch with America. We send good conservatives to D.C. to fulfill the promise they made to the electorate, and when they stay true to their word, the permanent political class in their own party punishes them, Palin said in a Facebook comment. This won't be forgotten come 2014. Right now, the GOP establishment is more concerned about the opinion of the media and the Georgetown cocktail circuit than they are we, the people who hired them. For all this new talk of how the GOP needs a populist movement, it would do them good to remember they already have one. It's called the Tea Party movement, and it won for them the majority they now enjoy in the House. On Monday, Boehner pulled conservative GOP reps Tim Holtzkamp of Kansas and Justin Amash of Michigan from the House Budget Committee. The speaker also removed conservative Republican Representative David Schweikert of Arizona and Walter Jones of North Carolina from the Financial Services Committee, House Financial Services Committee. The members believe they were pulled from those committee assignments from which they were would be able to influence fiscal policy because they said have solid conservative voting records. Boehner spokesman Kevin Smith scoffed at the concern Monday night in a statement of the statement to Breitbart News, saying the steering committee makes decisions based on a range of factors. But in a story on the matter, Roll Call quoted an anonymous GOP leadership aide who said the moves were indeed retaliation for members not being in lockstep with Boehner. You want good things in Congress and have a good career, better play along nicely, the aide said. Roll Call also quoted another anonymous GOP leadership aide who suggested that the committee chairman requested the changes. Changes are made for a variety of reasons, most often at the request of committee chairs. A spokesman for House Budget Committee Chairman Representative Paul Ryan, the Republican Party's recent vice presidential candidate, didn't immediately respond to a request from Breitbart News about whether Ryan agrees with Boehner's move. Holtzkamp and Amash both voted against the Ryan budget in committee and on the House floor, arguing it didn't cut spending fast enough. A spokesman for the House Financial Services Committee didn't respond to a request for comment on where their claims or their chairman stands with regards to this purge. Now, folks, as you have it, you would think that after the loss here Oh, okay. Okay, sorry, I apologize. I got distracted here. I was reading a long chat where I will have to read it later. I apologize. And thank you very much for sending that chat to me. It's not here on Blog Talk Radio, but on a Facebook chat from someone. Also, as I was saying, if after this, you know, election, which was supposed to be the most important election of our lifetime, and to lose the way that the Republicans did, because you would think that with this being, you know, the worst president of the United States in modern history, that the Republican candidate could have won. And you think, if that didn't happen, that there would be a shakeup in the Republican Party. But that does not appear to be the case. It appears that it looks like the party, the Republican Party, is going to continue on its rhino path and, you know, and continuing through this administration. And so we'll need someone, hopefully, you know, from the Constitution Party or some of the other third parties. A while back, we've interviewed a lot of folks, and one of them was Robbie Wells, in which he's talked about getting a coalition of grassroots together, and that might be what needs to go again, you know, to get the conservative vote. Of course, for the folks who listened to that show, and if they have not had an opportunity, they can find it in the archives for that show. So if the Republican Party is going to not shake up like I thought they might, and people were hoping, it looks like they're going to continue with Boehner and possibly continue with Rince Priebus, that conservatism might, as Palin might be pointing out, might be truly dead in the Republican Party. And I see here from someone from the chat, thank you, Tessa. It says, Justin Amash said he found out he'd been removed from the internet. No one called and told him, sent him a letter, etc. He found out he'd been removed from the committee he was on by reading about it on the internet. And speaking of that, then I believe the chat I've gotten from Facebook touches on that. So let me go back and read it. It says, and thank you, Arlene, for adding this on. I appreciate it. It says, rumor has it that I've been, I guess this is from Mr. Justin Amash. It says, rumor has it that I've been removed from the House Committee on the Budget. Remarkably, I still have not received a single call, email, or text from Republican leadership confirming the story. In fact, I wouldn't even have learned about it for not for the news reports. I look forward to hearing from my party's leadership about why my principled conservative voting record offends them. That's sure to be lively and an entertaining conversation. In the meantime, I can only speculate as to what specifically would make Republican leadership punish several of its party's most principled members and its party's most principled members, Republican. Tim, increase the size of this font here. Tim Hasselkamp, who was kicked off both budget and the Committee on Agriculture, voted with me against the 2013 budget resolution because it does not sufficiently address the federal government's debt crisis. That was one of the only three times during the Congress that I voted against the chairman's recommendations in committee. In fact, I voted with the Republican chairman more than 95% of the time, and I voted with my party's leadership more than three-quarters of the time on that House floor. What message does leadership's heavy-handedness send? It says that independent thinking won't be tolerated, not even 5% of the time. It says that voting your conscience, which we've talked about a lot here on the show, won't be respected. It says that fulfilling your commitment to your constituents to work with both Republicans and Democrats to reduce our debt takes a backseat to the desires of corporate special interests. We've talked about corporatism a lot here on the show. And most troubling for our nation, it says, is the growing number of young believers in liberty that their views are not welcome here. We're talking, you might be alluding to the Ron Paul folks and the Ron Paul movement. And I digressed there for a second, but I continue. I'll miss working with my colleagues on budget. I don't relish this situation, but if one thing is clear, based on the response from the grassroots, it's the leadership actions will backfire. If they think kicking me off a committee will lead me to abandon my principle or stifle my bipartisan work toward a balanced budget, I have a message for them. You're dead wrong. So, interesting. So they didn't give him the common courtesy of telling him himself. He had to find out through news reports about it. And I see here, I'm looking to the switchboard, that our guest is not called in yet. I do hope that he is okay and that has not been other than being busy with some work here that is holding him up. And I hope it's just something of that nature instead of anything dire. But while we wait, we will continue on, and I will go to the chat. And yeah, okay. And then moving on. Thank you, MD Independent Party. It says, Romney may have lost the election, but Romney Republicanism is firmly in control of the GOP. Yes, indeed it is. And that's why, you know, there are parties out there that people are looking at, that Bard's Logic is looking at, such as independent parties and also the Constitution Party. Last night, we're talking to somebody from the America's Party. And while there are some differences and definitely some opinions about other parts of the different parties, the grassroots party, even though both are considered, well, we're considered to be conservative, that could be, you know, hashed out in the arena of ideas. But also, we need to come together in order to go against these type of things that you are seeing that MD Independent Party has just said about, while Romney may be have lost, Romney Republicanism is firmly in control of the GOP. And, oh, great. Okay, thank you, Lugnut. I see your chat. I appreciate you answering my previous question. Great. Okay, but they can remove them from the committees. Okay, she's answering the MD Independent. So, well, it's interesting because we've talked, Palin, is, I wonder what she's alluding to. I wish you could have elaborated more on what this won't be forgotten come 2014. I know there were a lot of folks who were wanting both her and Newt Gingrich, among others, you know, and of course Ron Paul's name was mentioned, to, you know, leave the Republican Party. I mean, I know I've been talking to some folks who are actually going to try to get some things done, possibly in a open up a dialogue with some of those folks in a manner which I'm not going to discuss right now because they're in a planning stage, but of trying to open a dialogue with folks such as Newt Gingrich or Sarah Palin about pretty much dumping the Republican Party, because it's definitely proving not to be a conservative party any longer. And there is definitely the concern, and rightly so, that the Republican Party will never again be a conservative party. That is a concern. And so we'll see. We'll see how that proves. We know Newt Gingrich more so than Sarah Palin would be is more of a party loyalist, you know, but let's just say I know there was times where Sarah Palin actually talked about third parties, but we'll see where that goes. And I see that Stephen here has put a link here in the chat, and let's check this out and see what we've got here. Oh, no, I wanted to paste that. Let's see. Looks like another. Oh, yep, there's the article. Again, yes, about the big government. Okay, GOP party already has populist movement. Okay, so I apologize, because that's the same link that I put into the chat earlier. Yes, thank you very much, Stephen. I did put that in the chat earlier. However, that it scrolled up, so people might not have been able to access it, and I'm looking at that. In a very short time, they would not be able to do that. So, as folks are asking, yes, we are waiting for Mr. Stufflebeam to come aboard. As I said, I hope that he is okay and everything is going well for him. And we'll see. Perhaps I could give him a call, but we'll give him a little more time before I do so, and we'll see what's with that. Make sure that he is okay. But we'll give it a few more minutes, and if I do that, I'll just put on some music for the folks to play listen to while we make sure that we're trying to find out if Randy is indeed doing okay. So anyway, but let's get back to the topic at hand, and we're talking about, of course, Romney Republicanism, or, you know, the Republican Party, Romney Republicanism. And so it does not look like, and I know during the election, folks were talking about, you know, oh, well, if the Republicans lose, then they'll have to become conservative because they'll see the error of their ways. And so they'll be conservative, right? Well, you know, because they lost, because now they say they were being too conservative, but we know better. Conservatives know that's not the case. So, but anyway, so it looks like that is not panning out to be that way. So we'll see. We'll see. I know there's also some hope that Newt Gingrich, we talked about Reince Priebus earlier. I know there's a hope that Reince Priebus would, you know, be unseated and possibly Newt Gingrich put in as the chair. I think that would definitely benefit the Republican Party, but it's not looking very likely that that's gonna happen. So it looks like it's going to be more of the same. And last night we talked in the show, and when Randy comes on, we will discuss this if we have time with him. About, you know, the so-called financial cliff that they're talking about is going on, and how, you know, I believe that it's smoke and mirrors. I think that the Republicans are just going to do what they always do, and they're going to argue, and they're going to, you know, resist, and they're going to make it look like that they're actually fighting against, you know, the Democrats and Obama, but then it's going to turn out where they're going to give in and do a so-called compromise in order to do this for the American people, much like they did last year when they're talking about, oh, well, Medicare won't be able to get paid, you know, these, you know, tax cuts, and then they won't be able to pay unemployment benefits and things of that nature. So it seems like always at the end of the year, there's always some kind of scare, and they're talking about, oh, well, they might have to, you know, keep Congress in and the Senate in and, you know, emergency sessions, even through the holidays, you know, just try to fool the American public, or try to fool the American public, and thinking that they're actually trying to do the people's work. So that's what I think. I think it's just gonna be more of the same, where they're going to do that. And, you know, Obama gets away. I mean, look at Obamacare. I mean, they really railed against Obamacare, and, you know, look at the Republicans did. The Republicans funded Obamacare. So, okay, so moving back to another message I've got here. And we have Thank you, Arlene, for your contributions again. It says, Tea Party is looking for another party. Read further down. It says, it is official. The party of Reagan is dead. What can conservatives do? Click to find out. Like and share. If you believe conservatives cannot simply surrender to establishment Republicans. And it's Tea Party Nation, which I'm going to be interested to see this, from the Tea Party Nation, and this is why. You can find this interview on in the archives of Bard's Logic Political Talk. It's kind of deep down in the archives because it was an interview I did with Judson Phillips a while ago during the primaries. And first he was for Newt Gingrich, and then, you know, it seemed like he flipped over to Romney. And then after Romney, he went back to talk when it looked like Romney was faltering. It looked like he was going back to Newt Gingrich, supporting Newt Gingrich. And then when it was obvious that the RINOs were going to steal the primary, away from the conservatives, then he changed his tune yet once again and threw support behind Mitt Romney. So we'll see. I've not read this article, but I will go ahead and read it now and see what Mr. Judson Phillips, in the context of what I just told you about. In this article, it says, the party of Reagan is dead. Long live the Liberty Party. I guess that's part of it. Or it says, 37 things you should hoard. It says, full story here. Oh, someone's just drawing something. I don't know if that's a... Okay. No, that's just part of, I want to leave the page. Something's trying to, that was interesting. Okay, so let's see what Mr. Judson Phillips, who was once a Newt Gingrich supporter, then a Romney supporter, then back to a Newt Gingrich supporter, then a Romney supporter again, following the Republican Party lines, and we'll see. Okay, well, I was given a link on Facebook, and sure, I will put it here in the chat for the folks to look at. Let me copy it. There you go. In the chat, there is the link I'm talking about. So if you'd like to read and follow along, that is fine. You are welcome. And if you'd like to chime in, that's fine too, whether through chat or calling in. And so here is the article. It says, as when, this is from, as I said, Judson Phillips. As we approach the 40th, Tea Party Nation Forum, okay. December 4th, 2012, okay. And then it's got some discussions, and perhaps if we've got time, we'll read what some of the discussion had to say in there, unless, of course, our special guest comes in. So, if not, we shall continue. As we approach the 40th anniversary of the moon landing 4 years ago, there was a renewed interest in the space program. Not the current space program, but the space probe program of the 60s that put Americans on the moon. Obama killed our current space program, so all we can do now is look back with nostalgia at our glory days. The Republican Party is the same way. Every year, almost every local Republican Party has a Reagan dinner day. Republicans remember the glory days when they ran Washington. The Republican rank and file is much like the average American. They are now looking back at the good old days with nostalgia while the current Republican leadership destroys the party. The party of Reagan is dead. Long live the party of liberty. Why is the party of Reagan dead? In 2010, the Tea Party swept Republicans into power in the House. They had run on an anti-Obama, anti-socialism platform. They promised to cut spending, defund Obamacare, and block the massive expanse of government. Unfortunately, we did not take into account the Republican establishment. They were thrilled we were supporting the GOP, and they were thrilled the GOP was telling us what we wanted to hear. which he fell for. Anyway, I digress. Well, we both had a massive case of shock. We were shocked that a John Boehner-led GOP could not keep their promises. They were shocked that we wanted them to keep their promises. During the first 2 years of Boehner's tenure, spending went up, government grew, and the GOP ignored the Tea Party. Today we have the Democrats pimping socialism and putting America on the expressway to Greece. They have us on the highway to hell. Unfortunately for America, hell would probably be a preferable destination to the end they want for America. And then we have the Republicans. The Tea Party once again lined up to help Republicans. The GOP kept control of the House of Representatives, and how did the GOP thank conservatives for their support? John Boehner, Eric Cantor, and the Republican leadership thanked conservatives by removing fiscal conservatives from powerful committees. David Schweikert was taken off the powerful Financial Services Committee. Walter Jones was also removed from the committee. Justin Amash and Tim Holtkamp were removed from the Budget Committee. Holtkamp is a Tea Party favorite, and he minced no words in a statement to the press. He said he was given limited explanation to his removal, but clearly his consistent principle and conservative votes have riled the GOP establishment. The party of Reagan is dead. The current leadership of the GOP killed it. The Republican brand is dead. Boehner and the GOP are caving on the issues of taxes and spending. They cannot even explain to the American people why these issues are important. The Republican leadership of Boehner and the establishment have been so outmaneuvered by the left, a huge majority of Americans sees the GOP as simply the party of rich old white men who want to cut taxes on the rich while screwing the middle class. The symbol of the GOP might as well be Henry Potter, the Scrooge-like character from the Jimmy Stewart Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life. Incompetence and arrogance is a dangerous combination. That is what we have in the leadership of the Republican Party. The leadership of the Republican Party will not fight the Democrats on anything, which actually I said that earlier, but are quite happy to cut the throats of conservatives. Anyone remember how Mitt Romney went after Newt Gingrich? Oh my gosh, I can't believe he's getting ready to say this. And other conservatives in the primary? Yet against Obama, the most vulnerable incumbent in 60 years, Romney went belly up and managed to totally screw up. Interesting. Short memory. What does the next 4 years hold? The Republican National Senatorial Committee is already trying to get involved in primaries to stop Tea Party challengers. The establishment is already trying to line up Jeb Bush as a nominee for 2016. Does anyone other than someone named Bush or a Republican insider think this is a good idea? It is time for a Liberty Party. I think this is a great segue into the discussion tonight. If everything remains okay with Mr. Shuttlebeam, and he's able to Stufflebeam, and is able to make it in. But it is time for a Liberty Party. The GOP has not destroyed its brand. It's not only destroyed its brand. The spectacular incompetence of the Republican leadership is pretty much guaranteed that Democrats will keep the Senate in 2014 and might get a supermajority in 2016. If they push Jeb Bush as the nominee, Hillary Clinton will be sworn in as the 45th president in 2017. If they keep up. The Democrats will take the House back in 2014, and conservatives will never lead this nation again. Even if the Republicans were to take control again, which is an idea that borders on delusion based on their recent history, all we would have is another party of big government. It is time for a new Liberty Party. Sounds like you, Mr. Judson Phillips might have been listening to Bard's Logic Political Talk and the Tex and Rex Show, which, of course, you can find on Sunday evenings from 10 to midnight Eastern Time. But back to the article. It's time for a new Liberty Party. It's time for conservatives to unite behind a new party. The Republican Party is no longer the home of conservatives. It is no longer the party of Reagan. Conservatives can no longer play the useful idiots for a part that wants us to come out at election time and make sure they get their votes and then get away until we are needed again. One of the major objections conservatives have is that if we bolt from the GOP, we will split the vote. True, we will. But at this point, what are we getting? It's time to start from scratch. Perhaps it is too late and the left may have won. They may have achieved that their goal of transforming America from a constitutional republic to a socialist hellhole. But one thing is certain. The Republican Party is no longer the party of Reagan, small government, or conservatism. If you vote for the Republican Party these days, you may just as well vote for a Democrat. With the Democrats, you are getting more of the same, while the Republicans, you are getting less than the same. The end result is the same. So, very interesting, very interesting. And as I said, it sounds like Mr. Phillips has been listening to these shows. At least, you know, it sounds so to me. And, of course, you know, I'd be more than happy to have him back on here if he'd like to talk more about the support of Romney, at least towards the end of the primaries into the convention, it seemed. And then, you know, the slip and talk about him now. But you know, that's not something we haven't seen so far. That's surprising. So we are a little bit past the bottom of the hour. And so let's see, let's get back to the chat. And we've got Trog here. This is BS. These are all the jerks who said we need to get behind Romney. Judson has no spine. Well, I'd have to agree with that, Trog. You know, during the primaries, I said earlier, is that he went from Newt Gingrich to Romney, back to Newt Gingrich, back over to Romney, you know. And, you know, pretty much, and as I said, I had him on the show, and for the folks who came in earlier, or later, I should say, and who have not heard the interview with Judson Phillips, because one of the things he was asking is, you know, when it was looking like Romney was indeed going to get the nomination, he was asking, is there any way that we can, you know, get someone else, such as Newt Gingrich? But, you know, then he flipped back, you know, flipped back to Romney. And you can hear Judson Phillips in his own words on that archive. As I said, it's kind of deep inside the archives, but it was a great show and continues to be so, of course, on the archives. So, and yes, Tess, yes, it did. It was annoying. And indeed, it was. And frankly, to be honest, I kind of stopped reading his articles and things of that nature because, through my understanding, and you could come in and clarify if this isn't the case. But to my understanding, he was really giving the folks, such as myself and others, a hard time about our support and us even discussing the possibility of third parties. Yeah, and Trog mentioned that he jumped down his throat when I read an article he posted during the primary. And at that time, he didn't even know who he was. And yes, that was from the Tea Party Nation. And so, let's see here. Well, I've got it here. Let's see what some of the other folks who read this article had to say. Let's see. Let's see. I'm going to see what if it's okay. We'll do it from longest to most recent. It says, well, I wouldn't even. Well, this is what somebody from Tea Party Nation, girl named Katie. It's about time we conservatives have no representation at all. It's time we split from them and take the third party out of a test drive. I'm pretty sure that as long as we do the right thing here and do our rallies and whatnot, we can get 90% of those that voted the GOP. I'm done with the GOP. And there's a lot of folks with that sentiment. And a lot of folks who are going, you know, looking for parties such as the possibility of third parties, such as the Constitution Party. But at this time, I do have someone in the chat, the switchboard, that would like to call in. So I'm getting ready to open the mic, and thank you very much for calling to the show.
What's up?
Hey, this is Chris. Welcome, Chris, to the show. It's great to hear from you.
Yeah, you too. Man, I tell you, when I listened to this, I came in late. So I didn't want to bug you. I didn't want to get on the phone until I got caught up a little bit.
No problem.
And realized that I thought you had Randy coming on, but
we were slotted to, and I really hope everything's okay with them. I do have some numbers, so I might call at some point. Maybe have a little music on while I do so, because I am concerned. I understand things happen. He might have had something come up that he had to deal with, but I truly hope everything is okay. It might be a little, you know, well, he's usually up late, so maybe at some point, if I can, I'll call. But go ahead, Chris.
Well, here's some of my food for thought. First of all, it is amazing to me, okay, from everything that we have talked about through this whole primary, all the, you know, the crime, the rules, the laws, broken, bones broken, what they did at the RNC, that wasn't enough for people to get riled up. And then Romney loses, like we told him he would, and they beat the crap out of everybody that had a discussion about anything to do with third parties or, you know, screw it, we're not voting for another rhino, we put up with this. And they came after us, you know, nonstop. And now that Boehner removes five people from key House positions, now they're mad? That's the part that gets me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you mean it took all that time to this point before you people finally stood up and said, oh, they're against us. I've known that the GOP's been against the Tea Party since 2011. What the hell is wrong with people?
And when when I looked more into, I'm having a brain freeze here on during the primary, Rick Santorum, that's it. I mean, Rick Santorum, when I looked more into him, I mean, he was definitely not in favor. He was not a Tea Party supporter, and then he came out saying he was Tea Party, you know.
Yeah. Santorum was a shill to knock Newt and the rest of the conservatives off. That's all he was. I mean,
right.
You know, come on, this is a guy who actually campaigned for Whitman, who is a partial birth abortion that ran for governor in New Jersey. He ran, he actually stood with the Democrats against the Republicans to get Sotomayor into power, you know, in the lower bench. And Specter, I mean, come on, that's the guy that gave us the last vote that gave us Obamacare. You know, I mean, he actually filibustered with Democrats against Republicans when they were trying to break the back of unions in this country. I cannot fathom. These people, I guess I have no sympathy for these people who are now offended, because I've been offended at the crap since early in the primary when I saw what they did to Ron Paul, what they did to Newt Gingrich, you know, you know, I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. I'm sorry, I have no sympathy for him, because these are the people who told us we had to get behind Romney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that thing I put in your chat about Judson Phillips, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know who anybody was. People started putting me on groups and stuff because I was, you know, posting on Newt's main campaign Facebook. I ended up on a bunch of groups, and I read one of his articles. And he was crying and, you know, acting like John Boehner. You know, oh, well, you know, we're going to have to get behind Romney. It looks like he's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped down the guy's throat. Like I said, I didn't know he was some big Tea Party guy with 10,000 people that have, you know, on his group or whatever. I don't give a crap. You know, had been on national news that people, you know, had, you know, that he was considered an influential Tea Party person. Writing an article like that during the primary, I'm like going, you know, like I said, I didn't know who he was. I chewed him up, got a bunch of people liked my response. I can't stand gutlessness in any factor of life. You know what I mean? In other words, are you a conservative? Yes. Then act like one. Are you a Christian? Yes. Then act like one. You know, I mean, all this. Well, yeah, but, you know, now we have to do this, and now we have to do that, and now we have to do this. The only reason the Democrats won was because conservatives weren't focused through the primary. That's why he won. I saw the exit polls. You saw the exit polls.
Right.
You know, we had people who claimed they were conservatives, people who claimed they were Christians, people who claimed they were Tea Party people voting for Romney way back early in the stages, in the early stages of the primary, because everybody kept saying he was the inevitable and the electable one. And I'm thinking, what are you voting for this piece of crap for? Don't you know who this man is? Look at his record. I cannot fathom how these people can, at this point in time, I have a little different take on this. It just kind of pisses me off, you know, that finally you're upset. Good. You know, these people will all get riled up. Let's see what they do if they really, really, really do something about a third party.
Right, because they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything during the, you know, quote unquote most important election of our lifetime, when you thought real and actual change was going to happen. And which, it, you know, as we've all seen, I mean, all the billions of dollars spent, $2 billion in the
$6 billion overall.
Exactly. Yes, you pointed that out last night in the chat, and you know, so and then nothing. We're in the exact same spot,
We're actually worse because Boehner, you know, has already funded Obamacare and already given Obama one debt increase, and he's already shown that he has no guts. He has no ability to lead. You know, all these people, here's what amazes me.
Yeah, I meant politically worse, but yeah, financially worse, definitely, yes.
Well, here's what amazes me, Robert. All these people that are all upset and all these Tea Party people that if they would have stuck by Newt loves these people. Newt was these people. I know people got issues with some things with Newt Gingrich, but I'm telling you something. He was the Tea Party of his era. He was the rebel. He was the rebel. He was the one that came in and said, we can win. He put the strategies in place, and he led the Republicans to a victory. And he was out there, not Santorum, who was out there saying he doesn't agree with the Libertarians or the Tea Party people, and he would do whatever he could to purge them out of the party. I have that video. I've posted it about 1,000 flipping times, you know, when we were going through this process. But Newt, from day one when the Tea Party formed, he was there for them. Actually, let's go back. I have a video of Newt when Sarah Palin was announced as the VP run, and the news was already starting to chip at her as, you know, some Alaskan, you know, small town, doesn't know anything. Is she sophisticated enough to run? And Newt was defending Palin back then. If these people would have got behind Newt and stuck behind him, he would not be kicking them out of freaking leadership positions. He'd be working with them right now, you a-hole. Sorry.
That's okay. You're fired up.
God, I can't believe these people.
And rightly so.
You know, these are the people that Newt Gingrich loves to work with because he is that person. He's just older and more mature. Sorry, go ahead, Robert.
That's okay. Yeah, it's fired up, and, you know, it's – you know, to see this, but it's not unexpected. I mean, it's not unexpected to see this. I mean, I'm a tiny bit, I guess you could say, surprised that the Republican Party didn't move more towards conservatism after this loss. But I'm really not. I mean, because they actually thought that Romney, you know, not even looking at history, could actually win in the general election, and we said for months. Yeah, you know, I can't believe I actually thought that he could win it. Not possibly. And as I said, Justin Phillips.
Mr. Romney care.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, so here we are, and you know, we're trying to 2014. What to do, and who knows? Maybe there will be more people waking up after seeing this. But I think what they're doing is the reason the Republicans are doing this now, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, Chris, is they're using Machiavellian tactics, in which just sweep them all out now, and people's, for the most part, political memory is short, and they'll forget about it. And they'll forget all about it. When it starts coming time to really start talking about 2014, I think that's why it's important for Palin to say, hey, look, this won't be forgotten come 2014, because I think that is what Boehner and his ilk and is trying to do. Is trying to do is say, as I said earlier, they'll do all this now. They'll clean the conservative conservatives out now and then hoping by 2014 that the Republicans or the conservatives and the Republicans will forget about it?
Well, I don't know. I think this goes back to something that I've said several times over the last month, is the problem is the word conservative. That's the problem. Because I consider myself a conservative, and these people I've watched through this primary, you know, these vacillating back and forth, got to get behind Romney. That's okay that the RNC, you know, committed crimes. I mean, come on. That is not a conservative to me. People who claim they're a conservative and saw that stuff and didn't stand up, they could have stood up and done something about it. What we experienced,
right.
I mean, I did all a lot of research coming into the RNC, but the RNC was pretty highly exposed, you know, and it all was. I mean, we got videos and tapes and articles and everything of the whole process. But for people to look at that and not go and are so focused on Obama versus what is right and wrong, you know, what Hope Fleeing was saying last night about principle mm-hmm. first. You know what I mean? If you are right and you are the majority, then you stand on principle. Priebus should never have been reelected. Boehner should never have been reelected on the floor.
Oh, my gosh.
Why didn't they stop it? How many times? 2010, the Tea Party, Patriots do sweeping wins. You know, we got Michael Steele. He helped that happen. Newt Gingrich mm-hmm. was involved in his way. He was careful not to interfere, but he was always supportive of it. Sarah Palin was at the head of it.
Right.
And all this sweeping wins, and they started destroying them as fast as they got in power, as fast as they
right.
got, you know, their
they corrupted
their
some of them, right.
IM. Well, they corrupted some of them, but they also stomped, you know, put a boot to their neck. They didn't
mm-hmm.
learn their lesson then, that the GOP did not stand behind them when the liberal media came after them. They left Sarah Palin out to basically bleed in the snowfields of Alaska on her home by herself with no help after
mm-hmm.
they drug her out of Alaska. She had to leave the governorship. I'm not from
right,
Alaska,
right.
but I lived half my life up there. I understand the politics. I lived in the capital city. The rules up there, anybody could walk in off the street and file a complaint. She had people, you know, all these people were just, you know, using this against her constantly as governor, and she finally said, I can't even govern, you know, and
right.
I'm costing the state of Alaska money, and it's costing my family money. The GOP didn't even freaking help. They didn't even help her.
Here's
the question. When are they going to learn?
Look what they did to Aikens.
Oh, all of them. All of them. You know, when are they going to learn? When are they going to get up? I mean, well, what about a bunch of guys, Levin? Remember interview that Levin did? He said he called Priebus and said, you need to get up here and help Bachman. Well, yeah, you know, now maybe. He said three Tea Party people barely survived because the GOP wouldn't even help them in their races because Boehner and Priebus wanted them gone. Did you listen to that interview? Oh, it was deep. You know, Levin got into a lot of this stuff. And so, I mean, I don't know. I had a chat going with Randy, I don't know, a few days ago. I said, what are you guys doing as a party to go out and talk to these true conservative Tea Party candidates, the ones that have won and the ones that have lost, and give these people, because he posted this thing about, you know, the GOP is trying to destroy conservatives and the Constitution Party wants to elevate them. And I'm going, well, you've got to go tell them. You've got to book a meeting with these people and reach across the aisle, because it may get ugly enough that if you get 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15 people, name brand people, who get up and cross that line and join another party, like the Constitution Party,
right.
it changes the future of our politics if these people will act on their anger. Go ahead.
And as I mentioned earlier, there's some talk about, you know, folks trying to, you know, find ways to open up a dialogue with folks like Palin and Newt Gingrich. I think it's a slim chance to sway them away from the Republican Party. But if things like this keep happening, and look at the convention. You know, look at the lack of conservatives talking at the convention. Look what they're doing now to get conservatives out of positions of power. I mean, perhaps it may very well get so bad. I mean, you can't imagine how it could get any worse of what the Republican Party has already done. That perhaps folks like that. Cause, I mean, if you could get both, you know, or even one of either Newt Gingrich or Sarah Palin to say, look, I think it would be Palin before Newt, to be honest, to say, look, you know, I'm done with the Republican Party. I mean, I'm a conservative first, unlike Rush Limbaugh, and then Republican second, and I'm just going to go find a party that is conservative, that follows conservative values, because the Republican Party is not it. So, you know, talk about the big brand, you know, the big brand names. You know, I think it may take of a Palin or a Gingrich.
But no, I don't think it takes a Palin or Gingrich. It takes those four guys that got kicked off the committee. It takes one or two people to get up and go, I've had enough. This is what I'm going to do, and walk out the damn door.
Well, I mean,
Here's the thing that people don't understand. All things start with a trickle. Everybody's waiting for somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm getting at. We have 2 years. One. And this is what I was telling Randy. I said, you guys need an absolute campaign where you sit down with these people, pick up the phone, book an appointment, take somebody to lunch and have a conversation about the future of our country. Because Boehner and the elites and Obama and his crowd – are going to destroy this country. I don't think anybody has any argument with that. At the end of the day, look at where we are 4 years later with Obama and 2 years of Republican House. I mean, give me a break. I just can't believe this. So what's going to happen in 2 more years and 2 more years after that? Everybody's screaming and crying every day about the abuses and this and that and the other. We're going to waste trillions of dollars. Nothing's going to get solved. Taxes are going to go up. A debt ceiling's going to go up again. The Fed's doing QE3. People still, as much as I've posted on that, still aren't getting their head wrapped around it. Maybe it's just too big of a corruption for people to really want to understand. You know, but when QE3 is done, the federal government owns all the title to every property in the country. That's what QE3 is doing. So if there's a loan on land, government owns it now. Yeah. So anyway, you know, I agree. Yeah, wouldn't it be awesome if Sarah Newt, you know, said, I'm going over here. But if some of these young senators and the House guys got up and said, I'm moving.
That'd be part of the trickle that you're talking about, I think.
Well, that trickle would turn it into a tidal wave.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you think it would take for a party, like if you just take the Constitution Party? 5 million people join it? 10 million people join it? With a half a dozen name brand people? Pretty soon, people, you don't have to invite people anymore.
They'll start coming on their own for themselves, right?
Bingo.
Yep, they'll start coming for themselves. And I know, I believe Randy has talked about that as well, you know, about building a party that people are going to want to be a part of. They say conservatism in America is dead, you know, but most people say they are conservative, and I don't doubt that. I'm not doubting that the majority of the American people are conservative, but how many of the conservatives they're active conservatives, you know what I mean? Were they going to join?
I call them Republicans, Robert. I don't see them as conservatives. I really don't. When they still defend George Bush and endless wars and the Patriot Act, they don't get it. Maybe I'm too much of a libertarian mindset of actually believing the Constitution is important. I think too many people are party loyal. And they don't understand the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. They don't understand, you know, what the Fed is. They still think the Fed is some government institute. You know, to me, that's not a conservative. That's a Republican. but that's me.
Yeah, but do you believe that the majority of the American people would consider themselves at least conservative?
No, I guess. I guess it depends on what you call a conservative.
No, that's true. Conservative defined.
You know, I mean, I compared to the way what I think a conservative is. I don't know. Maybe I'm too picky. I don't know. But I think most of the people, I mean, I look at people that we've dealt with through the whole primary, through the social networks and stuff, and watching people immediately turn and kiss Romney's ring and then start justifying, you know, his position. I'm thinking, that's not a conservative.
Even good friends, and actually, I was just informed recently. I'm not going to mention any names here, but even recently, there was, she hasn't been on. Just mentioned the sex, but she hasn't been on for a while, and she used to come here to Bars Logic, and I believe she's been on Texan Rex as well. But through my understanding, on one of the social networks, she's out. You know, I haven't seen him because, of course, we're not allowed on there because forbid we'd be able to actually get on to defend ourselves, or bash us in some way. I don't know exactly what the content of that is. It's more of an interest on what's being said than it being an actual substantive, care for it. So, the same people who we were fighting with during the primary, you know, who were saying all the stuff and seeing all the, you know, all what Romney and the RNC were doing, and then turn around, as you put it, you know, kiss the Romney ring, you know, it's just incredible. It's like, I know they were acting, a lot of them, not all of them. You know, I know a lot of them were acting out of fear, and even some of them were actually already, you know, Romney supporters who were, there is evidence of this that were placed in the campaigns of the other candidate mm-hmm. to sabotage them. That I know happened.
You know, it goes back to I'm probably one of the newest guys, you know, that's in the public square, so to speak, you know, with the blog radios and the Facebook groups and everything like that. I'm not, mm-hmm. I don't have a political background. This isn't my love of life. I this first primary I've ever walked, you know, day by day through, where I've turned, you know, done all the research and all the, you know, that kind of thing. It's the first time I've ever done it. But I brought a set of, I don't want to say, you know, principles, but I guess I brought a set of principles and understanding with me into this when I decided I was going to become extremely politically active, because I really felt like it was the most important election of our lifetime.
Right,
I don't
right.
believe that.
Well, I did too.
And then when I saw what was being done, I went, these idiots are going to screw this up. You know?
Yeah.
And that's what I started fighting against.
This was Romney's, I mean, once Romney had, you know, took the nomination, basically, I mean, it was Romney's election to lose. I mean, or I should say the Republicans' election to lose. I mean, by picking Romney, they guaranteed another 4 years of Obama. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's the worst president probably in American history. Jimmy Carter didn't even get reelected. And some would contend that he's worse than Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter didn't get reelected. Of course, you had Ronald Reagan. And you know, Romney was no Ronald Reagan, and that's what you needed to win. And the one, in my opinion, closest to being like Ronald Reagan, of course, was Newt Gingrich. Now, of course, you know, I think, you know, Ron Paul would have been a good pick as well, at least as Republicans go.
Well, you know, when you bring up Ron Paul, you bring up, you know, I want to tag some information because I did follow, you know, all the candidates and did research on them because they blacked out anything about Ron Paul. Ron
mm-hmm.
Paul was polling early on national polls as extremely competitive against Obama. And they never said that on the news, but I saw the work in the polls because they did everything they could to make sure nobody knew that about him. Ron Paul brought everything to the table that Romney and the Republicans claim they need to win, to be
mm-hmm.
a viable party. They abused him, they lied about him, they demonized him, They treated his people like crap. They blacked him out in the media.
And what they were saying about the people who were Ron Paul supporters, they're calling them, like, you know, crazy folks and anarchists and things of that nature.
Oh, bull crap.
Yeah.
I know thousands of Ron Paul supporters. They're just like you and me.
Now, there are some who were saying that they didn't think Ron Paul really wanted to win the presidency. He just wants to get, a lot of his views out there in the national spotlight. We will cover that at length unless you'd like to. But, I don't know whether that was true or not. Maybe not. I think you'd like a Gingrich Paul ticket would have been a very principled ticket if tickets go.
It would have been incredible. Well, and that brings up probably one of my favorite topics, and that is the Tea Party movement, and I'm talking about true conservatives, not these fake ones that are part of a club, you know, and put a mantle on, you know, a tag on their shirt going, I am a conservative, but real conservatives, you know, that follow the Tea Party fundamental doctrine and the liberty movement. This will never change until these people merge. I'm telling you, I saw that. I don't know, you remember way back when you and I first started interacting is when I had built a group with the sole purpose of going out and figuring out who Paul was for myself because I was tired of all the rhetoric I was hearing about him from so-called conservative friends. And I got, you know, my thing was I was looking at the movement and I saw some videos filling stadiums and universities going, he ain't even in the news. What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Why do people hate this guy? He's pulling 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 people, and Romney can barely pull 500.
They definitely marginalized. I know when I was following, you know, the scene, not necessarily the Ron Paul scene, but talk about the primary. To be honest, I was kind of under the impression that he was, I'm not saying nothing, but I'm just saying that, you know, a non-starter, you know, the way that it was portrayed.
Well, the way it was portrayed, even when he polled high in the early states, they skipped his name. He'd be like number two in a poll, and they would talk about the first, third, and fourth people. I mean, it was unbelievable what I saw. And a lot of it was just accidental that I tripped over it, and then I started doing some research. And then I started doing research on his policies, and it took me a while because I had to, you know, join some groups, and I had to, you know, kind of tiptoe around a little bit and not offend anybody and not get booted off the groups and build some friendships and get where I could, you know, ask some people, questions and get on a phone with people and talk about policies. And, you know, I've learned a lot from you know, Rex because he has the background, you know, in that movement, actually. And so I've learned a lot. And what's amazing to me is I still have people today who I know today on different groups who still think Ron Paul is he attracted all the liberal, you know, pot-smoking young people. And I'm going, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard because I'm on multiple groups. I know thousands of Ron Paul people. They are all mixed ages, mixed cultures, young. Yeah, there's some young people, you know, and some maybe wet behind the ears and a little goofy. But, you know, who wasn't? And there's a lot of mature thinking people. These are constitutionalists. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to have an argument about your religious beliefs. They want to have an argument about the Constitution. And I think it's one of the biggest challenges in the conservative movement is that you have the moral majority who thinks this is all about their religion. And our founding fathers were extremely careful to make sure that they built the Constitution for the people, the document. Yeah, you can go back and argue natural law and, you know, Christian foundation and all that stuff, but our founding fathers also knew they were building a country, not a church. And there's a lot to this, the way that document was put together. So if you can find people who believe in the document, the Constitution and the original intent and the Bill of Rights, then that is the argument that pulls all people together, not just a group or a religious group, you know, or a liberty-minded group, whatever. You know, it's the dang Constitution. That's what's important. And so until conservatives and right-wing Christians get over themselves and start to understand what the liberty movement is about and drop some of their attitude, there's never going to be enough unity to take this party back over.
Well, and you mentioned the group, and we brought this, you know, this up, but you never mentioned the name of your group, Chris. So I thought that you want to plug it. Go ahead, man.
I'll put it in chat. Yeah, cool.
There you go. Freedom. Yeah, and that's a Facebook group, and for the people who will be listening on the archives, that they won't have the benefit of the chats, and that's Coalition of Freedom on Facebook.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'll put it in. Yeah, and this group, the reason I built this group was because there was already a bunch of, you know, I mean, there was a lot of groups, and what I wanted is I wanted a crossover group because I wanted to be able to pull people in from all walks in the Republican Party. And you know, I got people from Libertarian Party. I got people from Constitution Party. I got some Hoeffling people in there. I've got Ron Paul people. I've got Gingrich people, Palin people. That was the goal. When I built this thing, that I had this stupid vision of building, you know, unity with people who cared about the Constitution, you know, and they weren't going to always agree on every specific point of whatever the hot topic of the day was, or the issues or the pet issues, you know, in politics. But, you know, the bottom line is we got too much federal government. They're borrowing too much money. We have too many bases around the world where we are just about ready to fold as an empire, you know, and we need to make some changes in our foreign policy. Now you could talk to some people and they would say, you know, we need to pull it all out. And then you got other people who are saying, well, you know, we got responsibilities, we got trade, we got,
right.
you know, treaties. You can't just, you know, leave a black hole out there for evil to fill and, you
right.
know, and you know.
Fill
and
the void, yeah.
Yeah, and so you've got people that we may not agree on all of those points, but we agree on most of them, and that we have too much military spread around the world. Endless wars aren't solving anything. The Patriot Act, NDAA, you know, the War Powers Act, all this crap, you know, is beyond the realm of reality. Our founding fathers would be quaking in their graves, you know, over what we have allowed our federal government to do. You know, we've become a dependent society. You know, people don't have any hope or vision anymore, you know, for prosperity or for the chance to do something for themselves. So I think that what I call those fundamental Tea Party principles, you know, are a unifier. And I believe that if people will do this and they will reach across the aisle, so to speak, and build these relationships and I think something big will happen. I really do.
Well, I know, speaking of building relationships, I know when Robbie Wells was on, he's talked about, and I mentioned this earlier tonight, about trying to build a coalition of grassroots parties, you know, maybe under the wing of one umbrella, independent party candidate, at least for president, that's what he mentioned for himself. As running for 2016, is that what's going to be needed to battle against the duopoly of the other two parties. And in that sense, you know, reaching across, you know, those aisles, and in some cases if we're talking about third parties joining together, that's definitely ideological bounds, because if you're going to have folks such as constitutionalists reaching across the aisle to, let's say, Green Party folks, and trying to working together as Liberty Grassroots We the People Party, I think that's going to be essential for the future of this country.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if people in the Green Party are going to want to hang out with the Constitution Party, because people in the Green Party they want to abuse the Constitution. I mean, their platform is socialism and communism.
My dream, Chris, as you well know, is to see the Green Party become more conservative. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, you could build a conservation You know what I mean? Conservation was actually a decent word. You know, green to me is an abused word. But, you know, if you look at conservation, you look at, you know, responsible stewardship, I think that, you know, that conversation's nothing wrong with that conversation at all. But what I see, you know, I listen to the Green Party. Holy crud.
Yeah, when I was listening to her during the debates, yeah, I was like, I was cringing with a lot of things that I was hearing her say. I'm thinking, this, and she's a doctor. I'm not saying, you know, a doctor like medical doctor. I'm saying she's got her doctorate's degree in whatever. But I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I think she's a medical doctor.
Is she a medical doctor? That I did not know.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
Sure. And actually, speaking of, go ahead.
What's her first name?
It's Jill Stein.
Okay, go ahead.
And, yeah, it's, you know, and what I was hearing about, you know, her, you know, what her, she was saying during the Fair and Free and Equal debates, you know, I did listen to both of them, the one that was just her and Gary Johnson and the one that included Virgil Good and Rocky Anderson. But, yeah, just hearing some of the things, she was like, spend all this money. Now, you know, I know there has to be some, you know, kind of investment in infrastructure. And one of the things I like, if people could check this out, then I won't talk about it at length tonight, but perhaps at one of the Green Thursdays, is something called the Grand Solar Plan, which looks to put more solar energy on the American grid. That said, once it gets back to Green Thursdays, we can talk more about that. But, you know, I'd like to see you look at the Green Party get more conservative. And I think, you know, in the long, long term, that could be possible, because one of the things Newt Gingrich just talked about is green conservatism, which he actually has a book called A Contract with the Earth, where he talks about it, which, you know, is a book that anyone who's interested in the environment and conservatism, I would recommend going and checking out and reading it.
Hmm. Yeah, I've never read it.
I've got it. You know, I've read through some, and of course, I'd like to get through you know, all the book. But you know, at some time, I probably will. Hopefully, so.
Well, I know that Newt is a responsible thinker. You know, in terms of conservation and smart, you know, and smart moves for the future. I know that Newt is that way. He's been criticized for it.
Oh yeah. Well, he wanted to replace the. At least the national EPA with a Environmental Solutions Agency instead of an Environmental Protection Agency. I mean, it still, I guess, would have been a national agency and not just the state EPAs. So, I mean, when I heard Newt talking about getting rid of the EPA, I kind of cringed because I'm like, oh, the EPA, you know. I mean, I understand why, because, you know, there is a lot of, you know, liberal bureaucracy that's coming out of there. But I do see if under the right leadership that the EPA could possibly do good. So, you know,
this new trade deal that they're working on. They literally will give so much power to corporations that literally would give away the U.S.'s right to control corporations in this new deal. That's something to get into. I'd have to dig up files and stuff. I was starting to collect information on it. I mean, these people don't understand, but these people who control these politicians are not nice people. And they don't give a crap about, you know, the air and the water and your personal rights of Constitution. You know, people who think that Obama is for the people is just, that's a joke. But it's a sad, sad, sad mentality. But it's the same thing that I have with Republicans that keep following the party line. You know, Randy, if he was on here, he'd be going, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, because he made this decision, you know, years ago. He's been in the Constitution Party for a long time. And, you know, made a decision that he was going to take a stand and fight to build a party, which is, you know, I got a lot of respect for that. These parties need, you know, they need candidates, they need money, They need organization, and they need membership, you know. And if this is a little bit different twist, the thing that you're talking about, and I've seen the articles and stuff have been, you know, last couple of days, you know, the abuse on the conservatives, the lack of realistic talk about why Romney lost. Come on, God. You know,
come on now. Conservative.
Oh, my God. You know, and that we're not reaching out to the minorities. And I'm thinking, you know, Ron Paul is a very strong conservative. He's not a libertarian. I know his bio. I know his voting record. I know his personal beliefs. I've researched the man. He's a conservative, but he's a constitutionalist. That's why he crosses all party lines. That's why he has youth, military, young people, old people. Yeah, he's got a lot of kids that want, you know, pot, you know, to, you know, the war on drugs to be removed. And but that's not his whole, you know, foundation. I mean, he's a very conservative man. He's a strong Christian. He's a doctor. He's delivered babies. He's anti-abortion. But he's anti-bull. Anti-bullcrap. You know what I mean?
But bullshit's not that bad. As long as it's not an F-bomb, Sam.
Okay, but, well, you know, I posted an article. God, I've posted so much stuff lately. I've built, like, 5 or 6 major documents in my files. But, you know, there was a guy. Judge Napolitano tore the conservative anti-abortion crowd to shreds. You know, and he's pro-life, but he said, these dang Republicans have done nothing. We have had full control. We had power in the Reagan era. We had power in the Bush era. They did nothing. And here we're talking about a constitutional judge. He said they could have made one simple law and passed it when they had majorities to define
right.
how life started, and this argument would have been over. They did not do it. Quit voting for people because you think they're pro-life. Most of them are lying. They have no intention of doing anything.
No, because
you know,
that's how they
bring it in. Start looking at their records. You know, they're spinning this into the dirt.
And that's how they bring you in, and that's why they're not going to do anything about it. Just like the immigration issue. I mean, as long as immigration,
yeah, they did nothing.
Right,
Bush did nothing. Sorry, Robert.
Oh, no, that's okay.
He built some fences that you can crawl under and stuff.
Yeah.
Have you seen some of the pictures of the fences they built? Have you seen some of them?
No, I have not. No, it'd be great.
They built a great wall, you know.
Right. Yeah, they built a great wall
in
China.
And we can't even build a frickin' fence. We can build drones that fly by themselves and send spacecraft to Mars, but we can't secure our border. Yeah,
well, actually,
you know why?
Go ahead. Well, actually, I'm a little distracted here because I am actually chatting with Randy as we speak, and we're going to see about him coming in for a little bit this evening and then rescheduling the interview for tomorrow night. Go ahead, Chris, while I finish my chat with him and see if we can, if he's going to be able to make it in this evening. So go ahead, and I'll be right back.
Well, here's just some food for thought. Here's something that I think that from my perspective, if you think you're a conservative, you need to study the Fed. You need to study the 16th and 17th Amendment. You need to understand what Lincoln did with the Civil War and how it changed our country from a republic to a democracy, from these United States to the United States. There was a major, major, major things that went on in that era. And then from that point forward, all the way through the end of the century into 1913, when they developed the Fed, they implemented the 16th Amendment and income tax, which before that was illegal to tax people like that. And the 17th Amendment, which a lot of people don't understand, but there was balance of power was set up both horizontally and vertically. It was, you know, you had the federal government, you had the president and the House and the Senate and the judicial, but you also had the government, the states, and the people, and the counties are extremely important. A lot of power in your county officials, and especially your sheriffs. But in the old days, the senators were actually appointed. You know, and states had their own rules and how a senator was elected or appointed or elected by who. And so that the power stayed within the state. So if the federal government got out of control and stepped over bounds or did stupid stuff like develop the Fed or the 16th Amendment, and all of a sudden people woke up and went, oh, crap, this is like everything against everything the founding fathers put together in this country, that you had still had control of your Senate and you had control over the federal government because of that. And there's other things, too, that people don't know that Randy likes to talk about, the fact that officers are actually hired and controlled by the states, not the federal government. People don't understand that. All those checks and balances systems were put in place so we did not end up with an oligarchy. Now, for people who don't understand what an oligarchy is, it's not a funny furry creature in Australia or Tasmania. It means you have a government that's out of control, that you can no longer control, that controls every facet of your life. And instead of controlling their spending, they want to raise your damn taxes. And instead of controlling spending, they borrow money from our enemies and then give it to our enemies in other countries. It's out of control because we, the people, have given up our responsibility and our understanding of the Constitution, how the country was put together, and what our states are about. So we have elected people who tell us they're going to do things for us. And what we need is we need to elect people who will protect our freedoms and our rights. So if you claim you're a conservative, you need to learn these things, because I think a lot of people don't understand why this country was put together the way it was, how it was put together, and when it got broken. Because there was, like I said, the Civil War, you know, the 1871 Act, which a lot of people don't understand, you know, the 1913, the Fed, the 16th and 17th Amendment changed everything. And also people need to learn about our economic system. That's what you saw me in chat last night, right? Going like, yes. What? I'm going, it's complicated? The economic system in this country is not complicated. I'm sorry. You know, and if you're going to run for president, you should understand it. It's simple. The Fed prints money out of thin air, lends it out to banks. The banks then can multiply it and only keep a certain fractional reserve. In other words, if they've got $1 million, they only have to keep, you know, a 10% of it in their bank, and then they can multiply it and lend it out. That's fractional reserve banking. All those components and borrowing money and printing money are destroying our country. So as much as the life issue is like a really important issue, I agree. If we don't get our economic issue together, you ain't ever going to have a chance to fight for the life issue. You've got to understand our economics if you claim you're a conservative.
Right, and on that, it's interesting. You know, we've talked to, gosh, a lot of folks, and one of the things that they contend is, well, that if you cannot get the social issues right, how can you get any of the, getting the other issues underneath that right? So, but I mean, how could we get, you know, if we disagree with that mindset, what could be said that would convince those of that mindset that, hey, look, let's take care of the financial aspect first, and then once that's settled, then we can, you know, concentrate more on the social issues.
Well, I think what it really boils down to, Robert, is it's really very simple. It's about the Constitution. The Fed and the economic situation has to do with the Constitution. And if you focus and understand the Constitution and you get behind, you know, constitutional laws and constitutional acts, and you get the power back to the people in the states and out of the hands of the federal government, then these other issues can be taken care of. You see, the problem is and this could be get into a really long discussion, because this is something I've been studying for months and months and months and months and putting together this timeline. The problem is that when you look at the moral majority, they came in and they got into national politics about the time that there was this huge wave of federal government control. And so all these politics are played at the federal government. And what happens is we're losing at the federal government with social issues because people don't understand. Secular humanism or socialism, godlessness, is in control of not just the government, not just the people, elected officials, not all of them because you get to elect yours too, but all the institutes of the country have been pretty much washed out of that. And so what we keep trying to do is fix morals at the federal government, and it ain't going to happen. You know, if you care about your religious rights, you just need the federal government to get out of them and protect them, because most religious and moral issues are community and family-based issues. You can't tell somebody how to be moral from the federal government.
And I agree with that, but I will say this, with Tom Hoeflink's of the America's Party last night, one thing that he did say I found very interesting, about the abortion being left to the states and not the federal government. It sounded like he was against it. Is that
life and death by location.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And I agree with him. And I agree with him. But here's the problem. We keep expecting the politicians that we vote in to fix this.
That's true, and they haven't. And they have not. At least not the, as we mentioned earlier, the Republican Party, definitely have not done anything with it, even when they were in power.
That's right.
And you do have parties such as, the Constitution Party, who mentions, pretty much outlawing, I think, abortion. But what I like about that is...
Let me change the wording on that. Not to interrupt. I'm sorry. I mean to interrupt you. It's not outlawing abortion. What it is, it's defining life.
Right.
Because when you define life at point of conception, then it's not a matter of outlawing anything because you have now defined it. The problem is somebody let a bunch of Supreme Court judges define when life began. That's the problem. And that's the most insane conversation on the face of the earth, because what else would it be?
Well, but when they argue the point of doing that, having it where abortion is outlawed or illegal, what have you, because of the definition of when life begins, is the approach is pretty much the same as the approach that I do when I argue against abortion. It's not really from a religious context. It's more of a constitutional context on why. And I've got nothing against religion, you know that. But not everyone is religious, so a religious argument is, in my opinion, not the best mode to try to sway folks into conceding the fact that abortion is wrong and it kills babies. So, but if you go by the Constitution, which, anyone in the United States is underneath the Constitution and can abide by the Constitution, then if you use that, as an argument, as you see or heard the Constitution Party has done, and also, in a sense, hopefully has as well, then I think that's a stronger, and frankly more, if not stronger, a more effective way of combating it.
Well, here's a good point, and I know people don't want to hear this, but not everybody believes in the same religion you do. Not everybody believes in the same religious documents you do. Not everybody has the same point of view as you do. So now we live in a country of 300 plus million people. You're losing your argument because not everybody is exactly the same as you. But if you have the constitutional issue and life is defined, at conception, and the Constitution is the law, there's a lot more people who will agree with that than they do your scriptures if they don't have the same religion as you. And this is a thing, people go, well, it's not a Christian, and they get off on all these tantrums, and I'm like going, well, dang, it's the way the world is.
Not everybody's a Christian. Not everybody's a Muslim. Not everybody's a Buddhist. Not everybody, even in Christianity, not everybody has the exact same doctrinal beliefs. You know?
Right.
And if you get in these arguments based on your specific, you know, rule, this is what God said, you know what? All you're doing is turning off people who don't think like you think. And me, I'm a Christian. I can sit down with my Christian friends and talk scripture and, you know, get into history and wow, have great conversations. But when I walk out the door of my life, I realize that not everybody thinks like I think. You know, but for some reason, I'm able to function in a secular world without making enemies, because you don't convert people by pissing them off and beating them over the head with your dang Bible. It just
right.
blows me away how aggressive and mad and angry, you know, you don't talk about, you know, they love to talk about, you know, the religion of peace, you know, whenever they're making issues about Muslims, right?
Islam, right.
You know, because
mm-hmm.
Islam and terrorists and all the religion of peace. And I'm thinking about half the Christians I've dealt with through this primary going, yeah, I don't think anybody thinks you're the religion of love either. You know, I spent my lifetime observing this phenomenon. You know, they become so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You've got to be able to live in a world, step back a couple feet and go, how can I have a conversation with somebody? I mean, Robert, you and I have different religious faiths.
Right.
You know, we get along fine. I'm
right.
not beating you over the head with my Bible, am I?
No, my sister tries that, but no.
And how does that work?
It doesn't work very well. She just makes her seem like she's a holier than thou. Boy, she wouldn't be too happy if she heard me on air. But.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? I mean, I've built organizations. I've built organizations in religious organizations where I know that I can relax my guard and I can be around people who think like I think. I've built organizations in secular organizations. I've built nonprofit. I've built companies. I mean, I've done this my whole life. And I can get along with everybody, you know, and if you want to have a conversation and get into life and religion and beliefs, that's cool. You know, I mean, it's not my job to force you. God, you know, that's a personal decision. I'm so frustrated at people who think they're going to get politicians who are going to get in there and they're going to make everybody fix everybody. And I'm like going, that is not, you know, Jesus didn't work through the government. He worked through people. He served people. He served their physical needs before he preached. He built trust. He built relationships. I mean, how in the hell do we get off in this conversation? Anyway.
Well, sometimes we go off on tangents, right? Chris, that happens.
Know,
the organic nature of Blog Talk Radio here on Bart's Logic Political Talk.
Here's what's sad to me. The number one people I've had to boot off my group are people who would attack people because they didn't have the same beliefs as them. And that was really sad to me. But I had, for me to have a group that allowed people for all faiths. All, you know, you're a Paul guy, you're a Johnson guy, you're a Palin guy, you're a, you know, whatever, you're a Christian, you're not. You know what I mean? And to be able to come in here and have a group, and it's amazing the battles that people, you know, that people would get into. And I'm like going, what is wrong with you people? You know, this country was built on freedom of religion for a reason. Yes, it was a Christian-based country, and I can prove it every day of the week. And most of our founding fathers were strong. You know, I mean, they used to even have church in the government buildings, believe it or not. But
mm-hmm.
there's all kinds of, you know, stuff that proves that this was. These people, you know, left Europe to come to America for religious freedom. And I get all that stuff, man. I've studied, you know, the wall builders and, you know, all that stuff. But the thing is you have got to be able to reach other people if you ever want to win. And these bastards who are destroying our country use these things, whether it's pro-life, gay, pot, abortion, religion, they use these things to divide people who have a common
bare, you know, common denominator of, I want smaller government, less taxes, get out of my life, give power back to the states. You know, I don't want to be policeman of the world. I want responsible government protecting my rights. That foundation, that core value, which is really the Tea Party principles, the Tea Party principles, if you look at the foundation of the Tea Party, yeah, there were probably more Christians in the Tea Party than not. But it wasn't about just being a Christian movement. It was about a constitutional, small, limited government movement. You know what I mean? It was a tax. It started out as a tax, kind of like, we don't want to be taxed to death. You know,
Obamacare, right.
And it worked because people put those things aside and fought for something that they could fight together on. And it's been divided ever since. It really has. I've seen it. If people could join together with the libertarians, libertarian Republicans, you know, the more conservative group, if they would join together, put their crap aside, put their egos aside, and work together, this thing would be over in 2014.
Well, it used to be that the, you know, pro-life issue, you know, and the, you know, abortion issue would be one of the largest thing that would differentiate the Republican Party from the Democrat Party. And of course, we've seen, you know, as we've said before, they've done nothing to curtail it or you know, of course, get rid of it. Now, you know, smoke and mirrors, like, you know, we've said before, you know, to try to make it look like they are doing something about it, but actually, you know, you see, they have not. You know, so, but now that's even going to, that's going to the wayside, as well. Now, you know, and I think that's why a lot of folks, do go to, are looking towards the Constitution Party and even the, you know, in some instances, the America's Party too, is because they do still talk about, the life issues. And I think that's really important to a lot of people. But that being said, it's definitely, don't use that issue or, and, you know, or issues such as that to divide us. In order to, you know,
in other words,
the
question is, do you want to win? That's the question: is, do you want to win this battle? If you want to win this battle, you have got to get elected. And you know, it's just interesting to me that when you look at the Ron Paul or the Paul movement, you know, the Liberty movement. And you look at that movement, I've met a tremendous amount of pro-life people in that movement. I've met a tremendous amount of people who are just as conservative as you and I are, who would sit in this conversation right now, and we'd have the same conversations, except they understand the Constitution, they understand limited government, they understand the Fed, they understand fiat money, fractional reserves, they understand why we need to change these things, because we're going to have a dang country left. There's more of these evil socialist bad people than there are us conservative libertarian people, and at least in power positions. And if you're ever going to get it back, we have to get together on the things that we can agree on and fight for, because if not, it's just about over. And they don't,
yeah.
And they ain't going to give a crap what you think is important.
No, they don't, and that's why, you know, and this has been said before too, is that, you know, the time to, I mean, it's been way past the time to act, but if we want to prepare for 2014, it's not the year before, you know, it's time to start now. You know, that's one of the things we're going to talk about with Randy. It's through the chat with chatting with him this evening. We're talking about going ahead and rescheduling for tomorrow. Tomorrow night, I guess there are some schedule conflicts or ambiguities about tonight, and that's why we did not see Randy this evening. But in a way, that is a good thing because now I know that Randy is okay, and you know that he's well, and that he'll be looking to come here tomorrow. So that is good, and of course I'll be from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern time. And it looks like, Chris, we only have got about 11 minutes here, and I'd like to use the last 5 minutes just to kind of shut things down because, you know, and you've heard it many, many times, that I like to close out the show with the closing song by Aubrey Ashburn, and I like to do my little plug for the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. So in the next 5 minutes, if there's anything you'd like to close out with, go ahead.
Yeah, there was some stuff I posted, and I, there's no way I can get into the depth of it, but you know how I've been on the Civil War thing pretty strong, really want to understand that and how that, you know, ever since we interviewed Stan Vaughn and then other people, and I begin to realize that Lincoln wasn't everything people thought he was, and that what he did was really, really, really screwed up what our founding fathers put together. And it was pretty brutal. Well, there's this guy, Bill Lorenzo, and he has a doctor's degree and actually in economics, and he's probably part of the Austrian economics and that group. But he also wrote two books on Lincoln, and he started out doing some research. And the first book produced so much information and so much draw from other people that he did a second book, but I have a series of videos that I've been trying to listen to and, you know, archive them and get them all into one place. But he talks about why the Constitution had to be destroyed and the revolution.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And the revolution. Yeah, it's pretty, he gets deep. Oh, yeah, it was a doctor's degree, so he's a pretty smart guy. He did his research. And the books that he's written on the Civil War, and then the final video I haven't had a chance to listen to. I just started listening to it. He talks about that whole 1913 thing, you know, with the Fed and the 16th and 17th Amendment. And it is fascinating and I encourage people, learn this stuff. Because here's the thing I've said many times, and I really believe it. I don't have to tell you who to vote for. If I help you understand the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, you know, the powers and the original intent, you're going to know who to vote for. Because it's about the Constitution. The Constitution is an amazing document. It was put together by some very wise people, and it worked, and it gave us an incredible country. But there are people who are abusing it and have been abusing it for a long, long, long time. There's an article from a guy that I keep trying to find that was actually printed in that Canadian press that always has some really, remember that Canadian newspaper that puts out some incredible articles that we all trip over once in a while. There was an article by he was a constitutional scholar, and he actually listed out the number of laws that are passed that are totally unconstitutional. It just was shocking. And I'm trying to find that article again. But if people will educate themselves, you want your freedoms back. You want these socialist issues solved, right? You want your freedom to raise your kids the way you want to raise them, to put them in the schools you want to put them in, the freedom to own guns, the freedom to defend yourself, the freedom, all these things that you're offended at that are occurring in this country that are against your personal freedoms, then you need to learn it through a constitutional mindset. All your issues will be taken care of if we get our country running the way it was supposed to be running. And will it ever go back to the way it was? You know, I think sometimes the libertarians are a little bit kooky. You know, it ain't ever going to be 1776 again. It's a big country. We're in another era. Don't kid yourself. But there's a lot of improvement that could be made if people will educate themselves, get focused, work together, build relationships with people, like-minded people. It's going to happen. Go ahead.
But I was just finishing a chat here with Randy, just confirming some things up for tomorrow. appreciate it. But, yeah, I do see it is about that time. And so I'd like to take this time to thank you, everyone, for coming in tonight. I spoke with Randy, and he says you know, sorry for the not showing in tonight, but that's okay. We know these kind of things happen with scheduling and things of that. Especially,
I thought Marines made it no matter what.
Oh well, when you're a person of Randy's, you know, stature, you know, and political importance, then sometimes you have to change schedules, you know. So, you know, that happens, and it's understood. But anyway, he said, you know, graciously agreed to, you know, come back on or come on tomorrow night and we can redo this. So that's great to hear. And it's even greater to hear that my worries can be alleviated and that he's all right. So thank you, everyone who participated in the chat or listened in the archives. And, of course, please visit the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, in which you can find the link on the Blog Talk Radio homepage there. And if you're new to the show and you've liked what you've heard tonight, go ahead and consider following the show, which is really easy. Just click the follow button under the show's icon, and that's on that, and then you're on your way. And so while you're at the website, check out the Get Involved page, and you will see a red button that says Save an Elephant. And what that does will take you to the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, in which for only $50 a year, you can help sponsor a baby elephant whose parents were killed by poachers. They're over in Africa. And, of course, what they're doing is they're taking the ivory from their tusks, and they're selling it to a lot of Chinese buyers, which a lot of that money is being used to fund for weapons that are over there killing a lot of people over there in the wars you hear about going over in Africa. And so please, I think that would make a great Christmas gift for a loved one or even yourself. And I believe with the sponsorship, you get a photo of your sponsor and also some information, and also check out the rest of the website because they do help with trying to curtail the poaching that goes on over there. And that's not just a danger. The poaching is not just a danger to the animals, the elephants there, but it's also a danger to the people there as well, especially especially children. So that being said, we look forward to hearing Randy tomorrow night. And thank you, Chris, for coming in. We will speak again, and I will end this show as I end every show, and that is with a song from Aubrey Ashburn. And you can listen to more of her music at www.aubreyashburn.com, and that is AubreyAshburn.com. Take care, everyone. Good night, and hope to see you again.